We've got some great speakers who are returning from last year. Tony Hawk is kind of a funny one. We were sitting around, this was in August of last year, and we were like, all right, who are our, what wouldn't it be cool if kind of speakers, right? And one of our guys said, you know, I think Tony Hawk tweeted in May of last year that like, he had been holding Bitcoin since 2013.
You're listening to my guest, Brandon Green from the Bitcoin 2020 conference. We talk about Bitcoin, about the event, and we even drop a couple hints on some special speakers that are going to be showing up at the event as well on this month's Stash My Crypto. Let's go! Well, hey there, crypto friends. Thanks again for joining me here for another episode of the Stash My Crypto podcast. It's been a little while since I've done a podcast. I took a little bit of break over the holiday, but I'm really excited to have Brandon Green here. He's the project manager for BTC Inc. They are the creative minds behind the Bitcoin 2020 conference. Thanks for joining me today, Brandon.
Thank you so much, Stash. Good to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to bring you on the channel and talk a little bit about this conference. I went last year, and honestly, it was one of the best conferences I went to all year. I was super excited to come back this year, and I'm actually proud to be a media sponsor. So I'm really looking forward to all the cool things that you guys are going to be doing versus last year and everything that was really amazing there. So,
yeah, totally. I mean, we're excited to have you on board and excited for this conference. I mean, you know, ever since basically June 28th of last year, we've been full focused on making this conference just the coolest, most fun event anyone's ever been to. So, you know, fingers crossed, but we've got some really good stuff in the works. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, we had a lot of feedback coming off the last conference. There were a lot of things that went really well. There are some things that we needed to improve on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully most of those really obvious ones we have fixed and solved for, like the noise and like, you know, kind of all that issues that we had, making sure everyone at the main stage could hear what was going on. Yeah. A lot of that solved, and I think we've got some really cool stuff in the works.
Yeah, I mean, when I went last year, you know, I'll say some of the things I really loved about it. I loved the layout of the place itself. So it was like this three-level spot, and you had the main stage, and you had a rooftop lounge, which I thought was amazing. You kind of have this good contrast between, you know, speaker area and being able to have that, but then also area to be able to congregate and hang out. And, you know, I will say, yeah, it was a little bit of an issue, obviously, with the main stage and everyone kind of like hanging out right outside of that, like talking. And you guys got people like, shh, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And I swear, man, they tagged me like 10 times. And I'm like, I'm trying to whisper. I have a very boomy voice. I can't help it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, you know, I don't know why in hindsight we thought, yeah, let's put the art gallery right behind the stage because it's an art gallery. People won't talk, but yeah, of course, all of the artists are going to be there showing their work. Yeah. People have questions. They want to talk about it. So of course it ended up being a big place for conversations, but this year, pretty cool. We're actually that first floor where we had kind of the lounge. We're making that into like an entire bazaar basically. Nice. With artists showcasing their works. We've got our store that's going to kind of be revamped and even bigger. And it'll be, anyone can talk as loud as they want because we're not going to have any issues with noise. There's not going to be a stage around there. So that'll be one thing that we've definitely solved for. And we also were curtaining off the main stage as well, so that even if there are people back there kind of chatting, they won't be disturbing anyone.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, in general, I wasn't really like, you know, so upset about it. But, you know, some of the other things I really did love about the event is the Lightning Arcade. I love that. You guys are bringing that back again too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Lightning Arcade last year was kind of a proof of concept. Yeah. We had BTC Socialist from OpenNode and some other guys were kind of helping us set up these old pinball, you know, arcade style games with, you know, a little QR code and you can play with Lightning. So it worked. So now we're like, all right, how can we blow this thing up? And, you know, the guys at ZBD, have been creating these Bitcoin games. The Light Night guys, I think, are also going to be there.
Yeah.
So we've got some really cool games that are going to be totally like Bitcoin, at their core. And then we're also going to have some of those same, you know, pinball, foosball, you know, maybe a pool table, maybe some ping pong, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
And then we're also trying to get like some big old, you know, 85-inch TVs, get like some Super Smash Bros. Going, get some Mario Kart going, get some Fortnite going, you know.
Love it.
Really, really just make it a fun place for people to play, hang out, compete, all that kind of stuff, while still, you know, in the heart of the conference.
Yeah, I love it. That sounds great. I mean, like I said, that was one of the fun things I really thought was unique at your guys' event. I loved all the art installations. I'm glad you guys are moving to an area where that you know, you can kind of talk a little bit more and be involved there. A couple of my friends, obviously, are there. Coldy and Josie are both people that, you know, I love seeing and talking with last year. And then on top of that, you know, you guys actually had some really cool booths there too. And you know, the whole like ticket thing where you can win some prizes at your guys' store, I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if you guys are bringing that back too, but a lot of really cool things that you don't see at other conferences that I thought were pretty unique and great ideas.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're going to bring the ticket idea back, but I think we have level 2 of the ticket idea, nice. Which we haven't announced yet. So I'll kind of tease it like that, but
okay.
I think it'll be even cooler than the ticket idea last year to kind of get people to talk to everyone who's exhibiting.
Yeah, so some cool, I just thought that was a cool incentive, you know, because a lot of times at these conferences, a lot of these booths kind of get passed by or people don't really take the time to like talk to them. I love going and talk. I always make, you know, time to go in there and talk to these specific companies just to kind of see what's going on. But a lot of people just don't, you know, they pass them by. Maybe they get a little bit of swag and they keep moving on. But I thought it was cool that you kind of incentivize people in some sort of way to be able to really like dive in a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, totally. One of the cool, I don't know if they're going to have a booth or they're just going to be selling at the store, but there was a story of a couple of kids, maybe back in, I don't know, 2013, 2012, they were selling honey for Bitcoin to all their neighbors. They just kept all the Bitcoin that they got for selling this honey to everyone. And so now they're some of the you know, most OG of OG Bitcoiners. I don't even know if they're 18 yet, but they... Wow. They're going to be selling some honey at the conference, I think, too. So,
That's cool.
Sprinkled within some of the, you know, great companies that are going to be exhibiting. We've got some kind of throwback nods to some OG kind of things in the work. I know, I don't know if he's going to end up doing it, but we even have talks of having a BitInstant booth at the conference or something like that. I mean, we're getting pretty absurd with our ideas, but, you know, Charlie was talking about maybe doing that. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. I think that, you know, that's what we want, you know, in a conference like this. You know, you go to some of these other conferences and they're just very dry, you know, in general. And I think that that's a big issue. And so it's great to be able to, I don't know, just be able to see that there's that still that playful side of Bitcoin that is you know, I don't know, it's exploring, it's still having fun, and it still shows that kind of light side of it, not just like, all right, we're sitting here, there's a conference, people are talking, it's technical, or, you know, it's very specific on certain topics. I love the fact that you guys incorporate some of these things that really reflect what the Bitcoin community is all about. It's that just crazy internet money, right? You know, magical.
Right. Internet. I mean, yeah, it's like people forget how ridiculous of a thing we're doing sometimes. I mean, Bitcoin is literally trying to change the entire financial system of the entire world with this decentralized network. And, you know, if you can't take a step back and think how hilarious, you know, of a goal that is, you know, you're just going to get lost in it. So, you know, we try and keep that perspective. And obviously we all think it's going to happen, but we also want to make sure that we're having fun with it. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We kind of enjoy this ride because it's going to be, you know, especially in the next couple of years, it's going to be a heck of a ride.
I mean, it's already been a ride. You know, when we really look at it, like, look at the amount of progress that Bitcoin has made in just about 10 years' time. You know, for a currency to go from what it was to what it is now, I mean, you take any, even like fiat currencies, and you look at 10 years from their inception to where they were after 10 years, I mean, Bitcoin has made incredible strides in changing the narrative on, you know, what a currency can be and centralized currencies and how they work. And so, I mean, as much as it is fun and playful and it's kind of silly in a couple of ways, I think that, you know, there's been a lot of really great progress just in a decade. And to see that and know that there's going to be so much more in the next decade, it really gets me excited. I'm like, I want to talk more about it. I want to be out there, and it's great. And so I love the fact that everyone can kind of come together at the Bitcoin 2020 conference in San Francisco, which is March 27th and 28th, by the way, guys, if you don't already know, right?
That's right.
To be able to do that and get together and just and celebrate all of those things. And you know, you guys already have a really amazing list of speakers that are lined up. So, I mean, people like Adam Back, Caitlin Long, you know, Charlie Sherm, you know, there's so many. I'm just kind of going down the list here of really high pro. I mean, Tony Hawk is going to come. That's going to be crazy. I mean, it's kind of random, but I'm glad he's going to be there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
Exposo, yeah. I mean, there's just so many good ones. I'm keep going on the list and it's just like, great, great, great. I mean, so talk a little about that, about your guests, how you guys decide and pick the guests and you know, what the response has been when you ask people to kind of hear, come and present.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, we are so incredibly lucky that we get so I think this year so far, we've had over 200 people write in asking to speak at the conference, just unsolicited inbounds. So, wow. I mean, the interest, the excitement is there from the speaker side, and all these guys are incredible. We've got about 100 or so speaking slots, plus all of the people who we need to reach out to and all of our friends and all, you know, all the people who kind of hit us up personally. So it's an impossible job trying to totally encapsulate everything that's happening in Bitcoin. You can't do it. What we try and do, what we're trying to do this year is let's find the narratives that are especially enticing for the past year and for the next year. Let's highlight some of the things that people haven't spoken about enough. Let's maybe highlight some voices that used to be prominent and have kind of fallen away, but want to get back into, you know, the Bitcoin space. And you know, let's make sure that we're fostering kind of a forward-thinking conversation. That was like one of the big things we had last year was the debate with, not really even a debate, but the conversation with Aaron Van Wordem and Eric Voorhees and Eric Lombroso and just someone else on stage, maybe just those three, but kind of talking about, you know, all right, what happened in the civil war of Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash?
Yeah,
what have we learned from it? And like, what can we move forward and take from that? And, you know, what we wanted to focus on there was the third part, you know, what can we move forward and take from that?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we're kind of examining this entire space. It's like everything that's happened has happened. If you love Bitcoin, BTC, Bitcoin is permissionless. So like, we're not going to stop people from being part of Bitcoin. That's not our job. Our job is to highlight voices who have something to say about Bitcoin. And so, you know, we've got some great speakers this year, obviously, who are going to be talking about Bitcoin who we didn't have last year. We've got some great speakers who are returning from last year. Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk is kind of a funny one. We were sitting around, this was in August of last year. And we were like, all right, who are our, what wouldn't it be cool if kind of speakers, right?
Right.
And one of our guys said, you know, I think Tony Hawk tweeted in May of last year that like he had been holding Bitcoin since 2013.
What? I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. And so sure enough, like we all huddled together around a phone and we found the tweet. And sure enough, he said that he'd been riding the Bitcoin wave since 2013. And we were like, well, holy cow, you know, like let's talk to Tony. Let's see what he has to say. And, you know, through a friend, I don't know, do you know Jeremy Gardner?
Yeah.
Yeah. So through Jeremy, we ended up getting a live line with Tony. Shout out Jeremy. Thank you. And we basically were like, yo, you know, like, do you want to come talk about Bitcoin? And he was like, heck yeah, I absolutely want to talk about Bitcoin. I love Bitcoin. And he's like this huge fan who's just like kind of lurking in the sidelines and has been hodling for the past 6 years. And yeah, as soon as we kind of brought up the idea of having him there, maybe having him skateboard, do a demo, that kind of stuff, he was like, I'm totally in.
He seems like someone to be very approachable for something like that, you know, cool idea. Yeah, man, I'm totally down. And just like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, he was so freaking cool. I mean, I was personally awestruck. I was on the call. I was like, I didn't, you know, it was like where you want to say something and you like, you can't even get a word out because you're like so lost in the fact that you're just like casually on the phone with Tony Hawk. but yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to skate. We wanted him to talk a little bit about. And so here's kind of the frame that we're thinking about it is skateboarding in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? Was this counterculture I mean, there were very few people that were skateboarding. They all kind of dressed the same, looked alike, liked the same music, you know, did the same things. And then it became main, like it became mainstream. And yeah. Tony Hawk was like a huge part of, if not like the biggest part of bringing skateboarding kind of this mainstream.
Right.
Every kid has a skateboard or, you know, has ridden a skateboard before kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of parallels between taking that counterculture mainstream and what it's going to take and what's going to happen when something like Bitcoin goes mainstream. There's a lot of parallels between skateboarders and Bitcoiners, you know?
I agree. The attitude, the ethos.
Exactly. The individualism, the like everyone supporting each other while everyone's trying to do something really cool. And like the permissionlessness of it, you know, just have a skateboard, you know, have skateboard, we'll travel.
Right. So, I mean, and that's, you make a good point with like the time frame too. Like I was a skater too, man, back in middle school, high school. And that was before skating was a mainstream thing. And it was like, you go places and skate and the people are shooing you off. You can't skate there. They didn't have skate parks just all around, you know, like you had to find places to go grind rails or grind, you know, curbs, or whatever. And it was a little bit, you know, a little bit of like that, you know, I wouldn't say anarchist, but like a little bit of that, like, you know, kind of cypherpunk mentality of similar to what Bitcoin kind of came from. So I get it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So, you know, we would just want to hear his insight. Like, because, you know, one thing the skateboarding did too is like it kept kind of its culture. You know, it didn't just become like a mainstream, everybody's doing it. You know, check out my video of me doing this on Facebook kind of, you know, like it kept its core kind of feel and vibe while also succeeding, you know, to become mainstream. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation. And, I can't wait to hear what he kind of has to say. And you know, I'm just kind of giddy about that. Yeah. So we have that. What did you say?
No, I was going to say, it's going to be great. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. We have that. We have, Nick Szabo, who's going to be speaking as well. And I mean, you know, he can go off the deep end on Twitter sometimes when he gets too political and stuff. But I mean, talk about, is there a better speaker for Bitcoin than Szabo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, you're as close as you get to Satoshi, I suppose.
Right.
I mean, exactly. Really, look at it.
Like, it's the unsaid thing, but you know, like who knows how much he may have been involved even with the creation of Bitcoin in the first place, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's, regardless, he was a cypherpunk from way back and I have so much insight. I'm so excited to hear him talk about, you know, his thoughts on Bitcoin and yada yada. I mean, he's never spoken at a Bitcoin conference. He spoke at a Deconomy last year in South Korea, but that was kind of about crypto broadly and blockchain, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, we want him to point his attention towards Bitcoin and, you know, preach. So that's exciting. And then we've got some really cool projects that are presenting. We've got, you know, some really great threads that we're pulling at with like some futuristic stuff. Space, like we really want to talk about space and Bitcoin. We think it's going to be such a cool topic. You know, when we're colonizing Mars, we're not going to bring, you know, buckets of cash or gold coins with us, right? Like we're going to have digital money up there.
Yeah.
It's a fact. And what better digital money to have up there than Bitcoin? I mean, you're not going to bring a digital dollar when you've got people from all different ethnicities trying to transact. You need something that's, you know, common with all of them and can't be distorted by some other group. It's going to have to be Bitcoin. I mean, it's just going to have to be. So we're excited about all of that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about, you know, automation and where Bitcoin plays with that. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk about Africa and you know, Middle East and Asia and third world countries and developing countries and how they're starting to use Bitcoin. We've got some really cool case studies coming out about some different areas that are using it. So, I mean, I'm rambling, but I couldn't be more excited about the content that we're going to have. It's going to be very mind blowing and mind opening, I think.
No, I mean, it sounds great. Like I said, every time, you know, I hear a little bit more about the conference, I'm just a little bit more excited. You know, I see you guys still have two speakers that are yet to be announced. You want to drop a hint for us or something? Just like a little scrap, just like give us a little nugget.
Ooh, man. All right. Don't tell any of my team that I'm dropping this nugget. I swear,
no one will watch this video. It's okay.
No. I'm saying everyone watching, don't bring this back on me, but, We may be announcing sometime soon a couple of twins who might be speaking, who are, you know, have been doing some cool stuff in Bitcoin for a while. And, you know, I won't go any further than that, but, you know, we've had some pretty good convos around that. So be on the lookout for that. Like social media as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that little nugget drop there. You know, hey, idea that from what you said earlier about the whole space thing, guest speaker for next year, Bitcoin 2021, William Shatner, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's totally in the space. He loves Bitcoin. I just saw him today trolling BSV, which was amazing. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, you're the best. That would be a great crossover, great person. Or I mean, Elon Musk, he might be harder to get, but dang, either one of those would be amazing to continue that conversation into the future.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're still, pardon the pun, but working on some moonshots around our space programming. So stay tuned there. Right. It's looking iffy about whether we're going to be able to pull it off, but there could be a little bit of history made at Bitcoin 2020 around space and Bitcoin. So
I love it, man. Those are like two of my favorite things on the planet. I'm a huge, I love my space. I follow all the stuff. I watch all the launches, you know. Yeah. I was in Torrance for SpaceX's first dual landing of their Falcon rockets that they were like synced in. And
yeah,
it's literally where I was at was called this place LA Aleworks, and it's right across from their whole facility. So their whole Torrance major facility there, and all the team, like a mass amount of team was there watching it all together, having brews. And then we could hear in the facility when it landed, like thunderous roar of like hundreds of people cheering. It was a really cool moment, man. So yeah, I'm totally about my space. I love blockchain and Bitcoin. And so the merger of the two are one of my favorite cruxes. That and gaming, those three right there.
Dude, I cannot, like,
it's my triforce.
How crazy is it that we live in a, like, this moment in time where we are literally commercializing spaceflight while also decentralizing economies, like, while also gamifying the entire world, right? If you want to, you know, pull all three in together, it's like you couldn't be in a more exciting time in terms of the stuff that's being built, the opportunities that are coming out. Like, it's so cool. I mean, I'm a big Elon Musk fanboy. That's no secret. I think that he's just the genius of our generation. And I watch every flight and every launch as well. Like his Starlink program that he does.
Yeah, that's huge.
You know, in a couple years, the entire world's just gonna have Wi-Fi. Like, just casually, everyone's gonna have Wi-Fi. No one is even thinking about what that means for the world. One thing it means is that everyone will have access to Bitcoin at all times, because you just need a Wi-Fi signal to have Bitcoin. But I mean, basically, once the satellites are up there, Elon's price to give someone else Wi-Fi access is basically zero. So it's like he can charge people in the middle of Africa or the middle of Asia pennies to have full Wi-Fi access. And like, when you have 7 billion people on the internet instead of 2 billion right now, like, what is that going to look like to our economy? I have no idea, but it's going to be incredible.
No, you're right. And I mean, the potential for Bitcoin and for, you know, a censorship resistant, you know, no need for a third party to say, yes, you can send this money here and there, or use this to pay. I mean, it is going to be huge, man. And, you know, I get super excited, and we get super excited here in the community. I try and tell people outside of our community, I that's always my goal, and they just don't care. I try so hard, man. I try so hard.
And I know. I
even
totally
with all the exciting things, I'm like, oh, what about this? And like, ah, fiat's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care about like real technological improvements, because I don't have the creative like ability to forecast what this means. But they will. Like, they'll get it. It'll all happen. It's kind of, you know, I love going back and seeing, you know, the experts of the time talk about the internet, you know, in the 80s and 90s. About how it's some big fad and it's blowing over, and you know,
the
experiment
well.
Has been run and it's failed and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely like, didn't age well.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes me feel good. Like, I'm not crazy that I see all of this stuff happening and think this is the coolest thing in the world, and other people just don't even care. I know that, you know, time will show that we really do have lightning in a bottle here.
I mean, I'm confident in the same thing. And then, you know, you see other people who are, and I think the trend is starting to propagate a little bit. You know, you see people like Hester Pierce, who has recently come out and they talked about like, hey, you know, we understand being here at the Vet. Like, we understand, like, okay, maybe we should really look to this and maybe even give a safe harbor for cryptocurrencies here while we're working on this stuff out, because we don't really know how to deal with it. And you're starting to see more government regulations, stuff like that, you know, for Bitcoin and you know, places like Wyoming are becoming more friendly and trying to create policies around it. And hopefully other states taking the lead on stuff like that. Obviously, New York has gone the opposite direction. They're not fans of New York, really. But, you know, in general, how do you feel about that and Bitcoin's, you know, kind of state right now versus where we were, us fanboys, we'll say fanboys, where we want it to be here in the next few years?
Yeah, so it's an incredibly great question. I think first and foremost, the move that Hester Pierce made, signaling that they're going to give kind of this 3-year grace period to launch a project, decentralized, work in good faith, and like you're going to be okay. I mean, holy cow, that is the smartest and best news like we could possibly get. When you look at like, why did the U.S., like why is Silicon Valley in the U.S.? The answer is that America in the 90s under the Clinton administration put forth these regulations that basically said, you know, you can't regulate the internet too much. Pipelines for accessing information don't have liability of the information that is accessed through them. Right. Which in short terms, basically think like Google, if I Google how to make a bomb and then I go make a bomb and kill people, Google isn't liable for that happening,
right.
Which is a crazy, like at the time you could see the exact same pushback people would have on Bitcoin. Which is like, you know, you're enabling all these illegal things to happen on the internet and you're just gonna let it happen, yada, yada, yada. Well, yeah, because the upside, like what this will enable is so huge, like we're not going to limit ourselves and let someone else kind of create this next wave of technology somewhere else. Like we have to take those risks and allow those bad things to happen so that we can get this huge technology, you know, right here in the States.
Yeah.
So we've been waiting to hear someone with that perspective on Bitcoin and blockchain and crypto and all of that. The Hester Pierce thing was, I mean, that was big in my opinion. That was really, you know, I got chills reading it when I was like, okay, someone is catching on in the regulatory space that this is, it's imperative to have this technology here in the US. Let's make it friendly. Let's make sure the good actors are able to build here and create here. And yeah. So that, you know, in the future, the US will continue to be the hotbed for technological improvement. And all that. So, I mean, I thought that was huge news. I think Wyoming's doing great stuff. Caitlin Long's done a really great job kind of carrying that torch in terms of building regulation that's friendly to businesses.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we talk about here, and I know I'm rambling again, but
no,
one of the things
ramble on, man, ramble on.
Is that these tokens that launched, all right, they were securities. They didn't have a use case. They were all, you know, shit coins, whatever. But only because of the regulation around them launching what they really wanted to do, which was, right. I want to launch a token that equals, you know, future revenue to or equity in my project. I want a permissionless fundraise. I want to, you know, I don't want my token to be worthless. I want it to have value, but I don't want to have to be, you know, labored and coming up with $10 million to get through all the securities regulations in order to launch this thing. So they took away the path of actually having a valuable thing that they're launching, a valuable token. They took away that path in order to just stay compliant in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, if you had all of those regulations go away, you would have had so many more high quality projects launch. With real tokens that are actually worth something, that would be trading right now at huge values because they're creating really cool things on their platforms. Like, you know, you're actually enabling a new wave of innovation. Yes, you're going to have more scams. Like you will definitely have more scams because people will have basically no cost to just launch a project and take everyone's money. But at the same time, you will have more real projects that are worth investing into. So my hope is that we'll get eventually, maybe next year, maybe 2 years, you know, hashtag 2 years away. But at some point, people will wake up to the fact that having that sort of loose regulation around being able to launch these projects will do wonders for the entire world. And until then, you know, just waiting around to see it. In the meantime, Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin will keep doing its thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with the you know, the whole sentiment in general. I think if we had a little less regulation or heavy-handedness at the end of the 2017-28 run-up, where, you know, you're right, I think it scared a lot of quality projects, and there were a lot of people, quality projects that got tagged and you know, had to pay hefty fines, whatnot, and some of them could pay that fine and keep going, like EOS, where it's just, oh, sure, slapping the, you know, $25 million, no problem, we raised $4 billion, so it's cool. You know, things like that. But then some other really cool projects that maybe don't have that gigantic war chest didn't have that opportunity. And, you know, luckily Bitcoin was kind of grandfathered in that case. And so there wasn't much, you know, issue as far as that's, you know, in that regard. But I definitely feel for the space in general, it would be very important. And obviously we want to be able to continue the quest to, you know, have Bitcoin be a true currency, to be recognized as thus, and to have the regulations around it, you know, be business friendly. We don't want to fall behind people across the seas, other countries that are you know, seeing this and saying, hey, let's get on it right now. And they're supporting it through their government, and they're pushing forward very quickly, while the U.S. is still like, I don't know what to do, you know? So,
yeah, totally.
So yeah, I'm glad that that's where we're at. And, you know, I think that we'll obviously be talking a lot about that at Bitcoin 2020 this year. I will be there obviously both days. I'm going to be hanging out. So definitely come find me, guys. If you guys are around, come say hi. I'm not speaking at the event yet, hint, hint, but one of these days I would love to speak on it and talk about gaming and NFTs and how that all correlates back with Bitcoin. We'll get there one of these days, but definitely we'll be trying out some of the Lightning games and all the boosts and all the great speakers. Definitely don't want to miss all those. So
fantastic.
So, thanks, Brandon, for joining me here on the show today. Before we go, is there anything, last little nugget of information you want to provide here, or you want to make sure that we reiterate so everyone knows what's up with the conference? And
yeah. I mean, let's see. Tickets increase. I think ticket prices increase either this Friday, maybe next Friday, one of the two. So make sure you get your tickets sooner rather than later. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, but buy Bitcoin, man. It's going to be a crazy year. You know, it's an election year, so all bets are off in terms of what Bitcoin can do, because everyone's going to be focused on politics and stuff. They're not going to be focused on what Bitcoin's doing.
Yeah.
Let's see, fly under the radar. I mean, it's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be a crazy couple years.
It already has been a crazy year so far, in my opinion, man. I think it's just going to keep on going.
It's just going to keep on going. Honey Badger doesn't care.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, once again, thanks, Brandon, for joining us. That's all we have for today. Until next time, stash that crypto, friends.